Well, they say hindsight is 20/20, and there's a whole lot of people that want 20/20 to be hindsight, right? I mean, we just want to get this year behind us, but you know, a lot of the time when we look back at a year or a period of time, a lot of times we end up looking back with regret because of maybe missed opportunities, things that we could have done or should have done and we didn't. We look back with regret because of mistakes that were made, or we look back with regret because there are priorities that we let slide. And this morning, I want to encourage you to really get your priorities in order, that we focus on the things that are most important. Last week, I mentioned that if you're going to live a regret-proof life, you have to make the most of your life. You got to make the most of your time. And this morning, I want to tell you, if you're going to have a regret-proof life, you need to make the most important things the most important things. And you know what? It's not just so we don't have regrets. No, it's so that we live in the blessings that God has for us and all that He has for us and live life to the fullest. I read a story many years ago about two paddle boats heading down the Mississippi. And this is back when they were driven by steam. They used coal to fuel the boats. And these two boats are heading down the Mississippi alongside one another. And the sailors on one boat began to holler out to the sailors on the other boat, and they challenged them, and the race was on. Both of these steamboats heading down the Mississippi as fast as they could go. Well, they had plenty of fuel for their trip, but they didn't have enough fuel for a race. And so one of the boats starts falling behind because they're running out of coal. Well, some ingenious young man decided that he would take some of their cargo and throw it into the fire. Well, it worked. It worked really well. And so the rest of the sailors started throwing the cargo in, and they ended up winning the race. But they lost all their cargo, and they lost their jobs. They forgot what was really important. And I'm telling you that a lot of Christians do that in life, where they get caught up in the rat race of life. They get caught up trying to succeed, trying to achieve, trying to make a buck, trying to keep up with the Joneses, and they forget about the things that are most important. As God has entrusted to each and every one of us precious cargo that we have to value and take care of through this life. It's faith, family, and friends. You won't get to heaven without faith, and you sure want to take your family and friends with you. Amen. But we need to realize that's what's important in life. That's what's most important is faith, family, and friends. So many people end up focusing on other things, chasing after other things. And if the rich and famous have proved anything, it's that you can have all the money, you can have all the glitz and all the glamour and still be miserable. That's not it. That's not where the life is. But I'm telling you that people that have a strong faith and strong families and good friends, those are rich people. You got what's most important in life. And for us as a church, we just got to know. Those are the most important things. We got to keep the main thing, amen. The main thing is Jesus. You got to have your faith first. And what the enemy has sent for harm this year, I believe our God is able to turn it for good. I believe God is able to make something good out of it. I've heard a lot of people just curse this year. But it is an opportunity for us to refocus, for us to reevaluate what's really important. And this year has afforded us the opportunity to look to God like never before. I mean, there are things like never before, at least in my lifetime, that have turned us to prayer, that has brought us to a place where we need to seek God like never before. It's opportunity for us to draw closer to our families, an opportunity for us to find out who our real friends are, who we're really close to. And I know that it's been a struggle where friends are concerned because of the social distancing, but you know what? The year's not over. And I'm just telling you, these are the things that are really important in life. The first is faith, precious faith. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1:7, the genuineness of your faith is much more precious than gold. I'm telling you, your faith is way more valuable than gold. It's way more important than money. No matter what happens in life, no matter what you go through, no matter how dark it seems, and listen, no matter how successful you are, don't ever let go of your faith. Without faith in God, all the pursuits and achievements, it all just turns up empty. There's a void. I believe that God has put a void inside of every person that can only be filled by a personal relationship with the Lord. I mean, there's just something on the inside of man that needs, that craves that personal relationship with God. Only Jesus can truly satisfy that. And he says, all who are thirsty, come to me. That's what brings us true fulfillment in life. So many in America today who profess to be Christians just kind of pass through life without ever really giving much thought to their faith. They consider themselves to be of the Christian faith, even though they've never really made Jesus the Lord and Savior of their life. I know this. I can talk about this because as a 16-year-old boy, I remember working at the grocery store, and one day I carried groceries out for a man, and he asked me very bluntly, he said, if you were to die, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? And I said, yes. And he said, how do you know? I said, because of my faith. I gave him the right answer, but for the wrong reason, because I wasn't talking about faith in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I was just talking about the fact that I'm a Christian. I grew up a Christian. I thought everybody was a Christian. I'm of the Christian faith. Therefore, I'll go to heaven. But it wasn't a real and living faith. And I'm telling you, there are a lot of people on some level, that's where they are. They don't really have a living faith. They're not really in a personal relationship with Jesus. They might even go to church some, but they don't really have that kind of a relationship. Faith is not just for dying, you know. I believe when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. No, faith is for living. The Bible says the just live by faith. This is how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to walk in this world is by faith. And for us as a church, we got to never forget the most important thing that we can do as a church is to share our faith with a lost and dying world. The church is not a social club, and we are not trying to better people's lives with the teachings of men. No, we want to see people's lives changed where they become a new creation in Christ. And that happens when we share our faith. John chapter 4, Jesus is ministering to a Samaritan woman at the well. Most of you know the story, but when she came to draw water, Jesus says, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask and he would give you living water, that you would never thirst again. Jesus knew that there was a hunger, a thirst on the inside of this woman. She had had five husbands and was now living with another man. I mean, Hollywood didn't have nothing on this girl. But Jesus knew that there was a thirst in her soul, that she was searching for something that would fulfill her. And he offers her this living water. And whether we realize it or not, and whether they know it or not, every person that you cross paths with has a thirst, has a hunger deep down inside that can only be filled by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to share our faith. Listen, if our faith is the most important thing in our life, it'll be contagious. Amen. You won't be able to keep it to yourself. Other people will know that there's something different about you. They'll know. You can't help but tell somebody sooner or later when your faith is the most important thing to you. Acts 16:5 says, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. You know what? I believe that goes hand in hand. When the churches are strengthened in faith, they increase in number. You know why? Because the world sees that our faith is real. They see that it makes a difference in our life. I think people ought to be able to tell there's something different about you. And I'm not talking about just a bubbly personality. I'm talking about the way you live. They ought to be able to see the joy and the peace that you have because of your faith. But there ought to be evidence of it in your life. James 2:18 says, I will show you my faith by my works. It's not enough just to talk about it. It needs to show up in our actions and the way that we live. We need faith that causes us to pray, to trust God every day, that makes Him a part of our lives on a daily basis, not just when we're in a desperate situation. What's the most important thing? Faith in God. Keep your faith strong. How do you do that? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. However, you can get the Word of God into your heart, whether it's hearing preaching and teaching, listening to somebody on the radio, however you can get it, but get it down inside of you, whether it's reading a book that's full of the Word of God, by the way, not just any old book, a book full of the Word of God, or just reading the Bible for yourself, but get the Word of God down inside of you because it will strengthen your faith. Our faith rests on the Word of God. And so if faith is important in our life, then we want to feed ourselves the Word of God. Jesus says man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And I can tell there's not too many of you that have missed very many meals. And yet, a lot of us don't feed our spirit on a regular basis. A lot of people fast from Sunday to Sunday spiritually. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Oh, how we need the Word of God in this cynical, skeptical, unbelieving world where we are just surrounded. A lot of times, even believers are talking unbelief. What an irony. Believers talking unbelief. We watch the bad news because we got to know what's going on in the world. Wouldn't think about we got to know what's going on. How much more do you need to know the promises of God? Do you need to know the good news that will build and strengthen your faith? Because faith is what's really important in this life. And Satan, our enemy, he knows that. 1 Peter 5:8-9, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, resist him steadfast in the faith. See, we got to be steadfast. We got to be strong in our faith, that we're not going to be shaken. Satan knows that as long as we are steadfast in our faith, we will win. Do you know that? As long as you are steadfast in your faith, you will win. There ain't nothing the devil can do about it if you are steadfast in your faith. But he comes to deceive, he comes to discourage, and that's how he brings defeat, if he can get us to back off of our faith. Just before Jesus was betrayed and taken away, Jesus turns to Peter, but he doesn't call him Peter. He doesn't call him the rock. He calls him Simon the reed, because he knows what's about to happen. He says, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you. Now just think about it. What if the Lord said to you, Satan has asked for you. That's a little scary in a way. Reminds me of the conversation the Lord had with Satan over Job. But Jesus says, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Now, most of you know that Peter was about to go through the most horrible time of his life when he would deny the Lord Jesus three times. He was about to be sifted as wheat. And what that means is, when they sifted the wheat, they took the whole wheat with the grain and the chaff, and they would shake it and shake it until they shook the chaff off of the wheat and left just the wheat. And so when he says Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat, he's going to shake him and see what's really left of his faith, if there's anything real. Anybody ever feel like you've been shaken? How about more than once? Yeah. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. I've prayed for you that your faith would not fail. I'm so glad that Jesus is praying for us, that he is at the right hand of the Father. The Bible says he is ever interceding. He's praying for us that our faith won't fail. 1 John 5:4 says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. This is how we overcome 2020. This is how we overcome COVID-19. And listen, we're not just overcoming in the sense of hanging on to the end. No, we're overcoming that we're going to have victory in this battle. And one day we'll say with the Apostle Paul, I have kept the faith. Most important thing, family. So much trouble, heartache, problems in our world are a result of the breakdown of the family. As a church, we believe it's really important to build strong families. That's why part of our vision has to do with strong children and youth ministries. That's not an accident. We want to help families be strong in the Lord. We want to see children and young people grow up in church. It's not something that just kind of happens by accident. It is very intentional that we really believe this, that this is the time to reach them. You know, the best time to reach a drug addict is before they become one. Don't misunderstand me. We want to reach the drug addict, but the best time is when they're still a kid. And how many problems, how many issues can be solved with healthy, strong families? Do you know cults thrive on dividing families? And churches thrive on building families. I've been told over and over again throughout the years that my family is my greatest strength. Now, in a way, that's humbling for me. The last church I worked at, where they had evaluations once a year, and every year my evaluation would say, Mark's greatest strength is his family. And then they would have all my weaknesses listed. They put up with me because of my family. But I'm just telling you that family can make you or break you in ministry. Very true. But it's also true to some degree for all of us that in all of our endeavors of life, family can make things easier and better or make things hard. See, if you want to start a new business, it's going to be hard if your family's not on board. If you want to go back to school and get a higher degree, it's going to be hard if your family's not on board. But if they're on board, it just makes it easier. Family's important. Zig Ziglar said, the evidence is convincing that the better our relationships are at home, the more effective we are in our careers. If we're having difficulty with a loved one, that difficulty will be translated into reduced performance on the job. In studying millionaires in America, this came from U.S. News and World Report. They gave a picture of the typical millionaire as an individual who's worked 8 to 10 hours a day for 30 years and is still married to his or her high school or college sweetheart. A New York executive research firm did a study of 1,365 corporate vice presidents, and they discovered that 87% were still married to their one and only spouse, and that 92% were raised in two-parent families. He says, so the evidence is overwhelming that the family is the strength and foundation of society. Strengthen your family ties and you'll enhance your opportunity to succeed. Now, Mr. Ziegler is really about and into success. And he says, if you got good family relationships, it ups your possibility, your chances for success. But I got to tell you, I don't look at it that way. Because success is, as far as achievement and business and money, is not the most important thing. In fact, if you strengthen your family relationships and your family is strong and healthy, you already successful. And it may not be as glamorous as the guy making millions and his big job. But I'm telling you that when it's all said and done, when you have those kinds of relationships, you're rich. Now, please don't feel defeated if you don't have a perfect family. None of us do. Please don't feel defeated about your past, things that have happened in your past. You can't unscramble eggs. The point is that from here forward, we want to strengthen family. That is what's important in our church, but it's also what's important in our personal lives. And I want to challenge you to do that, to make your family strong. It's kind of strange how sometimes there's a disconnect between what we say is important and then what we do. Parents in the past, I have to qualify this, in the past have said that the number one hindrance to their family being strong was that they needed more time together. Well, they got more time together this year, and now they're saying that wasn't the answer. But it's really pretty interesting that in the past, when they thought that was the most important thing, was having more time together, most of them, almost two-thirds of them, said that if they were offered a job paying more money and with more prestige, they would take it, even though it meant more time away from their family. We need to remember what's most important in life. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be successful. I'm not saying that God doesn't want to bless you financially. I'm just telling you, you need to focus on the main things. Remember what's most important. It's amazing how that other stuff falls into place, as Mr. Ziegler said, but we got to remember what's most important. And you know, we also need to remember that we have a church family. It's not only about our families at home. No, we need to remember that our brothers and sisters in the Lord are just as much family. In fact, in some ways, Jesus put that at even a higher level when his mother and brothers were wanting to talk to him. He said, here are my mother and brothers, those that hear the word of God and do it. And I'm just telling you that the family of God is important in our life. Listen, we really are family. It's not just something we say. Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. Every person who has been born again has been born of God. That's what the Bible says. When we call him Father, he really is our Father. And that means that we really are brothers and sisters. And when you read in the epistles of Paul over and over again, he refers to others as his brothers or sisters. And for so many decades and centuries, it was that way in the church. We don't do that now. And I'm not saying that we have to call each other brother and sister, but I am saying that we need to have that mentality and that mindset that we look at one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. We really are family. We are part of the same body, washed in the same blood. We serve the same Lord. And though we may disagree about things, we need to remember we're family. So important that we get this. Church is not just a bunch of people that show up somewhere for a service. Church is a body. It is a family of believers. That's who we are. Natural family is so important, but so is church family. Friends. It's been said that a man who is rich in friends is a man that's truly rich. You know, there's a deep human need for friendship. I think the Lord also designed us that way, that we want close relationships with others. When God made everything in creation, He said, it's good. But then He said, it's not good for man to be alone. And we need to realize that all of us need friends. Even Jesus had friends. In John 15:15, Jesus said, I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends for all the things I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Now, they may not have been the best friends. They may not have been great friends. I mean, at Jesus' darkest hour, when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he asked them to pray, they fell asleep. He said, couldn't you stay with me just 1 hour? But he still had friends. Now you might say, you could make the argument that the God in Jesus didn't need friends, but the man in Jesus did. He said, in John 15:13, greater love is no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And that's exactly what he did. And let me tell you what his friends did. They went out and they turned the world upside down with his gospel. Jesus had friends. If you're going to be like Jesus, you got to have friends. One of the things that's been so difficult this year is not being able to be with a lot of our friends and to be as close as we would like. But as things slowly return to normal, I hope that you will go out of your way to restore those friendships, to spend time with people, quality time, meaningful time, and realize this, right now, there are so many lonely people in our world. They need a friend, somebody that would care about them. And I just encourage you to make friends an important part of your life. You know, we as a church want to be a place where people can come and make lasting friendships. Find godly friends, friends that will stand with you when you're in a battle, friends that will be there when you're going through a time of sorrow. We all need that. Charles Swindoll says that there's a counterfeit in the world. It's the neighborhood bar where people go to find acceptance, to find friendship, a listening ear. And all that cost them is a couple of beers. But that's what the church is supposed to be, is that place where people can find acceptance and love and friendship and help and strength and encouragement and faith. We need to make sure that we're available to those that need a friend. By the way, there's all kinds of friends. There's some that are fair weather friends. They'll be with you when times are good. But a real friend is with you all the time. No matter what happens, they'll stand with you. And a real friend will tell you the truth. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Real friends stick together even when they disagree. Even when there's a little friction, iron sharpens iron. Sometimes it's during those times in a friendship that you learn and you grow. Because let me tell you something, you don't know everything. Nobody has all truth. No, we can all learn and grow from one another. And we all need those kinds of friends in our life that'll tell us the truth. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. If they fall, one will help up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Because let me tell you, we all make mistakes. We all mess up sometimes, and we all need friends. Keep the faith. Don't let anything or anybody turn your faith away. Don't let anything cool your passion and love for Jesus. Pull together with your loved ones. Do what it takes to repair a damaged relationship if you can. It takes two, but I'm just telling you, do what you can to repair those relationships and make them stronger. And when it comes to friends, you hold on to good friends. They are a treasure. And look for some new ones. Join a growth group. Talk to somebody. Make yourself friendly. Faith, family, and friends. When you got those three, you are truly blessed. So remember what's most important. And I'll tell you, you look back and not have regrets. Just be sure you got the important things with you. Stand with me. We're going to pray.